So I wanted to thank the public so much here in Houston for coming out this afternoon. And we are going to begin our public session, and we look forward to hearing your comments. We are developing a list of people, so I'm going to start with Fernando. Fernando, are you here? Yes, of course. Jerry Lynch. Thank you. Hold on a minute. It seems not to be working, so let's correct that. All right, Jerry. Thank you.
There? Okay. Yeah, I spoke yesterday, and I just want to continue somewhat on a theme of, as of yesterday. I was talking to Fernando and some other folks here, and even though I'm probably going to get more involved in KPFT, he's basically just a casual listener and member, and I wanted to urge you all to think about diversity and to consider to have some affirmative action for the health of Pacifica, and this is what I propose. Make it reasonable, but something like 10% of all national board members need to be under the age of 30 or 35. You need something strict like that, and believe me, that won't solve the problem right then and there, but put a deadline on it. Be serious about this, because it's very important for the health and well-being of Pacifica. I've been in some political groups that have done stuff like this. It's still hard. It doesn't solve the problem overnight, but it certainly helps. Yeah. Be serious about it. Whatever the age is, 30, 35, make a deadline. Make it strict. I know it'll be somewhat of a pain in the ass to have them around initially, perhaps, you know. But do it, please, for the sake of Pacifica.
All right. Thank you so much. Colleen O'Brien. And I want you all to know you have 3 minutes to speak. We have a timekeeper. Margie?
Well, I don't know how to follow that that little act. I'm going to talk about green space. And, yes, I did go see green outer space. And I did go see Sandra Bullock in Gravity, which was also about outer space. I highly recommend the movie. And I know Sandra Bullock supposedly has a home in Austin, and I haven't approached her yet about this project. But she will be on my short list. And I'm going to pass around some of this literature. I might not have enough for everybody. It's called, some of you folks have heard about it before. It's called Lunar Solar Power. And get the paper rolling. So Lunar Solar Power, and we do have a website, www.lunarsolarpower.org. And this was started, this project, by Dr. David Criswell about 40 years ago, speaking to his small entourage of NASA scientists. And myself and a few others here in Houston heard about this project about a year and a half ago. So we started our own little group. And this is our solution for green electric energy. Basically, the sun as the bought and paid for solar factory, the moon as the reflecting satellite to the Earth. This is doable. We've been to the moon. We know how to do that. 80% of the solar panels that would be on the moon are in the lunar soil. And this would supply all of our energy for 10 billion people, say, by 2050, 600 times over the amount of electrical energy that we would need. The cost is $60 billion a year for 10 years. And this would have to be a collaborative national, nations, and corporate enterprise, but we think this is the solution for the Earth for millennia. And we think this is a very noteworthy project and topic to discuss on the Pacifica airwaves. We haven't had any success yet in getting, for instance, Democracy Now! To pick this up, interview Criswell and others about it. But we are very excited about it because we think that this, for instance, you know, fossil fuel molecules, as you all know, probably drop back into the atmosphere and the earth and the water. And I hear my time's going. Okay. So anyway, so green solar power would, you know, it's 365, 24/7. It just goes, it's massless proton particles. Think of radio waves. And so, of course, our Earth-based solar is good, but it's not good enough. And we think this is the permanent solution for humanity and would start cleaning up the planet. So that's why I'm here, to talk about it and talk it up, and ask me any questions when you see me around. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask everyone to please turn their telephone on mute or whatever. Thank you. So Lawrence, raise.
Thank you. I'd like to address the chair in this matter. On the matter of the Program Director Search Committee of KPFK, on the previous one, not the new one, being under investigation, and our work as the present Program Director Search Committee has been parked, I guess, like a cars get parked, or has been told to stop working. So we weren't able to meet for our October meeting. I have serious concerns because I don't know. Well, I think Mr. Crumshaw told us who were the three people that were on the committee, and I don't. This wasn't public, right, John?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know who was on the committee. John told us, and I want to know when that report is going to be done, because the committee members have serious concerns, because we have to move on in terms of responding to our constituents who are disappointed with the programming, and also perhaps maybe disappointed with the present IPD. So I'd like to know if I could get an answer to that. And
I'm sorry, Lawrence.
No, it's okay.
Go ahead, please.
No, no, it's okay. All right, thank you. So I'm hoping that the chair or anybody that's on that investigative committee could provide us with a time certain as to when we could get back to our work.
Lawrence, let me just mention, I was the chair of that task force or panel. The others are here as well. There were two others, Teresa Allen and Carolyn Burden. We have finished our report, and our plan is actually to present it to the board this weekend. That's the plan. Okay? So, all right. Let me see. Adriana.
Casaneda.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My apology.
There. Hi again. And I'm a very focused and participative member of KPFT-LSV. I am the governance committee chair and an active member of the two fiduciary committees, finance and MSRC. But I heard yesterday here from KPFT GM and board chair so many things that were news for me. One, ethical underwriting. Some of you asked about definitions, amount of money involved, and opposition. We LSV members do not have a clue about what you and him were talking about. Let me correct myself. We LSV members outside the inner circle perceive it as not trustworthy. We do not have a clue. We ask so many times, but we never ever receive a clear answer. That is why there are not controversies about ethical underwriting. Who are the ones that approve it? Never in the open, neither in committee executive sessions. How can we agree or disagree, approve or disapprove? We suspect. We listen our radio station. The idea I heard yesterday here about the Texas Observer in Austin and Mother Jones, they were all wonderful news for me. How come some of you know about something that we, the members, elected representatives, do not know? The members remember the ones that foot the bills? they select all of us. FCC and the special temporary authority license granted to KPFT. I asked 2 LSB meetings ago during GM report if the reason for temporary authority has to do with our antenna limited reach from 100,000 to 30 or 40,000 watts. And I was told no. The reason was some complaints to the FCC 2 years ago about the use of foreign language in the air that FCC was investigating. I found out different yesterday. And the last one, I was amazed about you knowing so much about KPFT employees. I never met KPFT business manager. I do not know how she looks like. I heard she's very knowledgeable. We approved the 2014 KPFT budget, but we never met our business manager. Finance committee last meeting was in June 2013. And number one LSB member duty enumerated in the bylaws, Article 7, Section 3, specific powers and duties, to review and approve the station's budget and make quarterly report to the foundation board of directors regarding budget, actual income, and expenditures. We can change the bylaw if we don't want it, but if not, we need to follow. I can go on. I can go on and on, but this isn't the time and place for it, I know. I want to illustrate the cause of the lack of transparency complaints and the secretive attitude we face, and we do not have any way to turn to. Those are grievances generators, and later on, many litigations. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. Bernadine Williams.
Good afternoon, everyone. I don't make it to...
Sorry.
Bernadine Williams? Okay. I don't make it to too many of these Pacifica events or even the local station board meetings. I'm here because of just a few items that really have disturbed me. First of all, I don't believe in underwriting segments at KPFT or in Pacifica. I do believe in parliamentary rules, and I hear that there's been some talk of suspending them. Every time I've ever heard, I've participated in a number of different organizations on the board as a member, committee member. Every time I've ever heard of anyone wanting to suspend something as basic as parliamentary rules, it's because they want to create a personality-driven organization as opposed to an agenda-driven organization that is actually productive, gets things done, and follows the mission. I was very disturbed that someone has mentioned to me a comment that our station manager wants to ignore the rules, procedures, and then just apologize later, okay, when things hit the fan. I believe in parliamentary rules because otherwise you have meetings that are out of order, and I have experienced this at the one LSB meeting that I went to. Okay. I guess it's kind of infamous now. Okay. One of the things that really shocked me is that apparently there was someone there who was supposed to be reporting on financial matters who simply was, I felt like he was concealing something from all the other LSB members because his report was really incoherent. He couldn't give basic information, and it was just very disappointing because no way would any member of that LSB have been in a position to make any sound business decision based on the information that was shared or withheld. Additionally, I like the way that y'all have things set up here today for public comment, because the public comment segment that I participated in at the LSB meeting was really, it was just so embarrassing. The whole meeting was very immature and childish. The chairman of the board, Robert Mark, don't know what to say about that. Immature, uninformed, didn't want to be informed, very disrespectful of each speaker, was not paying attention. If you ask him, I don't know if he'd be able to tell you what all the speakers had to say, and there were only three speakers. But that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ted Weisgall?
I know you're not supposed to answer questions, but is any of this going to be recorded in the minutes of this meeting? Right, but it will not be in any printed, and I think that's really horrible. It's what I think one of the things that holds us back. But I do want to nevertheless share with you just a few quick things. There's a woman by the name of Gail Collins. She wrote a book called As Goes Texas. Any of you heard about this book? If I was part of the... Thank you, Teresa, for raising her hand. But if I was part of the movement that wanted to keep Texas conservative, I would do whatever I possibly could to make sure that KPFT was as dysfunctional as possible. What Gail Collins said in her lecture here in town and in the book was that Houston and the surrounding counties, Harris County and the ones that surround us, the ones that our radio signal reaches, hold the key to the future of the state of Texas. Texas controls a lot of what transpires in America. In fact, dominates the politics of America, and America dominates the politics of the world. So when we, those of us that are on the progressive side, as I would say, of the local station board, come forward and say, I'd like to do a workshop on Robert's Rules of Order. I would like to make sure that all board members understand what motions are, what seconding is, what limiting debate is, and all the rest of that stuff. And I've been teaching this subject for 30 years, and for 9 meetings I served as the parliamentarian for this body. Was told by Dave Fertig in Los Angeles that I saved this body 3 hours of its time at one of the 3-day weekend meetings, the first one in New York. And I'm dismissed and can't teach Robert's Rules of Order to the incoming board members. And we don't spend time reviewing the bylaws so that we know what we're supposed to do. It leads to this dysfunctionality that pervades KPFT, which means we don't have that progressive radio signal that reaches out to this community. And as a result, just one example, in Texas, we have one selection process for textbooks. And because of that one process, you've heard of the Texas Book Depository. Okay, because of Texas and the reduction in the cost of textbooks here, they become the textbooks for the nation. And as a result, ignorance pervades this entire country. I see my time is up, but we need to start respecting and we need to demand that there be a training program throughout the network for Robert's Rules of Order and understanding the bylaws so that we know our respective roles.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The public session is on the net, and if you'd like to transcribe it, I'll be glad to post it.
Thank you, Otis. I'm going to ask for a supplemental list. Do we have one, John? We have an additional list. Thank you.
You don't have me at the bottom of the list?
He's there, Heather. You just moved.
Yes, Fernando. He's up there. At the bottom here. Okay, so Bob Lederer.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm a member of the WBA LSB. And what I'm extremely, deeply, seriously concerned by is this proposal pending now for leasing WBAI to an outside entity. Obviously, all of us at the station are extremely clear on the financial crisis that's been growing at the station for several years. And we could and we should have a long discussion about what are all the factors that led to that. I would submit that among the ones that are not as often talked about are some disastrous programming choices made in the last 3 to 4 years that have narrowed the listenership by cutting off or reducing time that certain communities had to air their issues, as well as mismanagement of premiums and all sorts of other things that we could talk about. But at the moment, the question is what should be done right now to deal with this? And just to put this in a context, despite the intense divisions at the station, at a finance committee meeting where this was discussed in October, all the sides that are often in opposition to each other united behind a motion that passed unanimously to our LSB, and that has been sent to this board and has been the subject of a petition to this board that's been signed by more than 200 people that said basically this. Number one, you have not exhausted all the possibilities to stabilize the finances of the station. You must do that before you resort to as drastic a solution as a leasing arrangement. And number two, that whatever decisions you make, you must do them not only in public as a PNB, but you have to involve the LSB and the staff in that decision. And the listeners through on-air discussion, through a town hall meeting, and through discussions with the LSB. And I would note that I understand that the PNB has directed the interim executive director to meet with the LSB to discuss this, and that has yet to happen. That was many weeks ago. So I understand, having been a former member of the PNB, that there are certain contractual arrangements that can't be done in public. You're not going to negotiate fees in public. But the broad concept of should there be any leasing arrangement at all, which would surrender large parts of control over programming and other aspects of the station that has played such a vital role in public issues in New York City for 53 years, to make that fundamental decision, that is not a private matter, no matter what pretext is put on it. It has to be a public discussion. And indeed, even the discussion of the pros and cons of the applicants should largely be done in public. There's nothing secret about knowing what kind of programming mix one entity might be offering and, you know, what sort of decision-making process and so on. So that needs to be done. And the other is that that fundraising strategies that have not been tried or have not been adequately tried, which have been proposed in detail to management over a period of months, have to be tried first before something as drastic is done.
Thank you so much, Bob. Tej Grewal? Did I pronounce it correctly?
I couldn't hear you.
Tej?
Yeah,
Graywall, yes, thank you, Graywall.
Good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much also for listening to me speak in public comment last evening. I did receive an email from Didon, so I have it in electronic copy as well as printed copies. If anybody would like a copy of that, I would be happy to distribute that. So as I mentioned last evening, also I'm the chair of KPFK in Los Angeles, and I'm also a teacher in LA Unified. And as a teacher, I am, I will call it a blessing to be able to work with our future, to be able to learn how to communicate with our future, to learn that there are voices in the community who have a right to think, who have a right to express, and to be amongst professionals who practice honoring the communication with our community when they come and they speak to us. And I reflected a lot last evening. There was a comment before when I arrived here, and our sister, who was up here on the microphone from KPFT, and that stayed with my heart all night. When I was watching her speak, and I was sitting in the chair, I observed a board member, and later I asked who is the board member. Sometimes it takes me a minute to know the face to a name. And as a teacher also, and even when I chair a meeting, anytime there's public comment, you know, my heart is open because I may have a job to do, but I'm here to serve that mission statement that I believe in, which originates in Berkeley also, where the free speech movement has been. My uncle, my dad's eldest brother, he sailed on a ship here all the way from India. There were a couple stops along the way, but the movement of the people to reach the station. And as I learned, our sister here, as I watched, she turned her head this way and said, voiced, boring. And I watched you look over and say that I watched that. No, I that was what I saw. And, you know, I work with auditory learners and visual learners, so I'm very sensitive when people can say those things. And that means that that takes... What do you sound out in your heart to take a moment over listening to somebody else's voice to say what you need to say, but have so much control over it where you say it quietly and say, boring. There may be only three people to your left, but I will go back to Los Angeles knowing that I will never do that to any child in LA Unified or anybody else that I meet or anybody else on the board that I stand for. So truth to power.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to ask Fernando, please.
I'd like to reiterate to support the position expressed by my brother Bob Lederer. Please do not lose that frequency. We need it. This is the age of Obama. These executions performed by Obama's special forces through drones, through commandos, his authority that other presidents will have to just execute anybody at their own wishes because the war on terror, the war that has not been discredited, please rethink about this possibility. The other point that I want to make is that, look, guys, we need to have some young people sitting in here, sitting in the local station boards, be part of our audience, be part of our subscribers, be part of our producers, our programmers. I proposed some 10 years ago when I applied for the program director position that I was rejected because I would not be a good stabilizing factor for the staff. That's what I heard. So anyway, what I proposed then, what I propose now is the following. Bring every ethnic group, bring the youth from all the ethnic groups, teach them how to produce radio, how to produce documentaries, news reports, and every programmer in your station with 1 hour, take 5 minutes away from each hour and give them to the kids, give them to the youth. You put them working together, you have a cultural cross-pollination, people learning from one another, learning how to work together with one another, and producing, expressing the creative talents of their communities. That's not so much to ask. Come on, you guys.
So that is the end of the list. Do we have some who have not spoken who would like to? All right. Please come forward. What's your name?
Okay. I'm sorry. Just, you know, people don't have to give their names.
No. Fair enough. Only if they want to, yeah.
Right.
If they sign up. Yes.
My name is Vertel Bennett, and I'm the producer of The Prison Show here in Houston. And I'd like to welcome you all. I was once on the board of KPFT a long time ago, and the first downlink satellite dish, a buddy of mine and I, Jorge Belgrave, who now lives in the D.C. area, we went to the Teamsters and said, hey, fellas, we need a downlink satellite dish. And they said, what is that? And I said, well, we need $5,000. So they gave us $5,000. They brought the dish out, and the guy says, well, where's the pad? Say, what pad? He said, we need a hunk of concrete 6 feet deep and so many feet wide. So we went back to the Teamsters and said, we need $3,000 for the pad for the dish to sit on. So they gave us $3,000. We got the first satellite dish. So I said, I need a thank you letter. So they procrastinated and procrastinated, and they said, well, you need to write. I said, no, the checks weren't made out to me. They were made out to the station, so the station writes the letter. I'll just be the intermediary and deliver it. So after 2 months, they gave me a letter, and I went back over to the Teamsters. I said, is Phil there? He said, oh, Bennett, you hadn't heard? I said, no. He said, he and all the bosses in federal prison. I said, oh. So we ended up trying to take the letter to the body and get them to, you know, since they put up the money, and they said, no, it didn't work like that. Let's just keep the letter and, you know, we don't disturb nobody. But anyway, we got the downlink satellite dish. But one thing I've noticed is from when I was on the board, when the station got shot off the air here, and I'm sure that's part of the Pacifica Foundation history, a few of the board members came together and we said, we need to raise X amount of thousands of dollars to get the coaxial cable and get it restrung, and they needed to do some electronic work at the bottom to get the tower back in working condition. So we sat there and wrote some personal checks, and I think we raised about $8,000 that night. It was about maybe six people in the room, and we got our money back when the station had the next fundraiser. And but what has changed is I've noticed we have a different board now, and if we got shut off the air, probably we'd have to do a fundraiser, and since we wouldn't be on the air, it'd be hard to do a fundraiser. So we have a different kind of board, and I have some board members that work with me on the prison show, and one guy said, well, I give time, and so that's money. I said, well, why don't you go out and try telling your wife that? I give time, and see how she deals with that when it's time to pay the light bill and the house note and the car note, and see if you can go give your time to the light company. So I don't want to go too far because I have a history of being very outspoken, and I do political consulting locally, and I have a lot of famous people in office. But I just thought I'd drop that little seed, and I enjoy working on the prison show. I enjoy all of the camaraderie at the station and all the people I work with. And the Pacifica Foundation, I think, allows KPFT to do a wonderful job in the community. And I know we have visitors at the prison show. We broadcast to about, I guess, 60% of all the prisons in the state. And then we have a huge listening audience in the free world in Houston and surrounding areas because we get all the graduates from the system. They're in the free world now, so they listen to keep in tune. And then all the relatives of the people who are incarcerated, we get calls from Australia, from China, from Japan, from France. And we get a unique call from France because we get this French woman whose boyfriend incarcerated here speaks only Spanish. So here's a French lady with a French accent trying to speak Texas Spanish. And that is really exciting. And but it allows people to communicate during our second hour of the show. And Ray Hill, who's the founder of the show, has just cut a deal where on Christmas night, we're going to do a special 2 to 3 hour broadcast to all the inmates. And we're going to have guests and music and all kind of programming. And the programmers who were on at that time on Christmas Day, they've relinquished their time so we can do this special show. So that's the kind of camaraderie and friendship we have at the station. And we thank Pacifica and the Foundation board members for allowing us this opportunity.
Thank you so much. Do we have any other comments from someone who hasn't spoken already? All right. Well, we do have some time, Fernando, if you'd like to make another comment. Okay, Lawrence as well. All right.
I have a question. Yesterday, one of the members of the local station board said something rather contradictory that got myself thinking. On the early part of his report, he said the bylaws, because of we lost the Pacifica Foundation name and we were forced to acquire the Pacifica Foundation radio name, the bylaws for Pacifica Foundation no longer apply, so therefore I assume you can go and get underwriting and all these other things outside the law because we don't have ground rules, right? So I just want somebody to clarify that point for me. Point one. Point two is that in the eve of the North American Free Trade Agreement, I got former Miss Venezuela to co-produce a show that bring all the AM radio stations from Mexico, all the FM radio stations from Mexico, connected in series in a one live broadcast, one single shot across the border with KPFK, and we were rejected because technicality, our production director said it was not feasible. I'm an engineer. I know it was possible. They didn't want to do it. There's sometimes the people in Pacifica just run away from incredible golden opportunities because vanity, ego, or whatever you name it. I don't want to say racism, but whatever. Jesus Varela from Berkeley, Mario Murillo from BAI, from KPFA in Berkeley, Mario Murillo from BAI, and myself in LA, we did satellite broadcasts simultaneously, one taken after the other, and it was great production. Why we don't do that? We done live broadcasts with Honduras, with Venezuela twice, with Argentina and KPFK. We broadcast live in those countries, and then they broadcast the other half of the show live in Los Angeles. These incredible things that we've done with very little budget. On 2005, you spent 2 days discussing the idea of a daily 1 hour Spanish-language news program with the budget and all the five stations after two provocative and contentious discussion and debate and anger, you approved the resolution that will have this daily one-hour Spanish-language program on Pacifica, and you still, to this day, some 7 years later, you still don't have anything. So my question to you is, why you want to spend the precious dollars on the subscribers to pay somebody, wine and dine people, fly them on the airport, bring it over here to have a two-day discussion to approve a resolution that you're not going to follow through? That's a waste of listeners' money. So let's think about all these things, these points that I have made, and let's get the best of it. There's things that we can do collectively. There's things that we can do. All we have to do is the courage to dream, and we know we're very capable of. Please stay with me on this one.
Thank you so much. We have Adriana. Okay, please come forward. Yes, come forward. That's fine. You need to put that on. You want to move the microphone over? Okay. Yeah, you can take off the microphone.
Bring it up.
You want to move the microphone over?
Okay. My name is María Elena Castellanos. I'm an elected delegate, 2012 to 2015, for the local station board KPFT. I have also been a programmer, especially during those early 1980s. I worked with a team of Central American immigrants, and we presented 4 hours of weekly programming from 1982 to 1984. It was called Revista del Sur. We had no significant paid staff at that time, and yet we were able to generate new programming involving both breaking news and interviews of people who were deeply involved in the Central American struggles for liberation from those dictatorships, and as well as combined that with music and poetry of El Nuevo Canto. I was elected on an Occupy KPFT platform, and we still have the website up, and unfortunately, it's still necessary to occupy not only KPFT, but Pacifica. That is, bring the outsider's point of view. Bring the disadvantaged and the disenfranchised portion of the American society, that hardest hit portion of the 99% that is being deprived of its vote in Congress, being deprived of its vote in city elections because of, you all know about it, the Citizens United ruling that says, hey, corporations are persons and money is free speech. Well, it ain't. And KPFT and Pacifica have the obligation to become what it was destined to become, and that is a broadcasting organization not only for peace but for justice, because without justice there is no peace. And as it stands right now, this board and your agenda and those five amendments, with the exception of one, the four of them, do not speak to the need to expand democracy, but rather limit and restrict democracy. How do you limit democracy? Number one, your First Amendment is to reduce the LSB and the PNB by a third. Well, because supposedly social dynamics say that it's easier for small groups to work more efficiently than larger groups. Bullcrap. Look at the United States. Yes, and I won't use the United States Congress, but look at a number of organizations that have on their not-profit governing boards large numbers of people who represent the diverse communities that they serve. KPFT does not serve its diverse community. 40% of Harris County, Texas, are Latino. We do not have 40% of a membership. By the way, our membership has gone down. We do not have, for that matter, even a significant percentage of African Americans on as far as being part of the board and the members. Look at the facts and figures, folks, and I tell you, a CEO of any company in this country who reigned over management from 12 years, and during the past 4 years, from 2009 when we reached a peak membership of 10,000 people and a metropolitan broadcasting area that reaches nearly 4 million, we reached a peak of 10,000 members, paying members, in 2009, and have now been shrunk down to 7,000 and some odd members. What kind of a CEO would be retained after that kind of functioning? And yet, the so-called CEO, and I don't have to name any names. You know who the general managers are at KPFT and at the other stations. Look at specifically, what is his alternative? Underwriting. Looking for nonprofits that will give us big grants. Well, I'll tell you, look at the biggest nonprofit that one of our LSB board members, the chairman, the current chairman, submitted, supposedly, or was going to submit, or wants to submit a grant proposal to. And that is United Way of Greater Houston. Well, pull it up right now if you've got internet, and you'll see on its front page, Chase Bank, Shell, ExxonMobil, the biggest corporations that have taken away representative democracy from the people since big banks were bailed out in 2008, and the big corporations like General Motors in 2008. And to this day, oil and gas and the big oil corporations and the big banks are manipulating that United Way of Greater Houston nonprofit in order to manipulate the aspirations of the 99% who are trying to pick up the slack and provide for the homeless and provide for the needy and the hungry. And I'm telling you right now, KPFT and Pacifica has at the fork in the road. Don't resort to Yogi Berra's simplistic statement. Of course, he had a much deeper meaning when he said, when you come to the fork in the road, what do? You take it. Well, obviously, that's nonsensical right now. We are at the fork in the road. You have to make a decision. You either go with underwriting and turning over the independent voice of KPFT to these big nonprofits, and I tell you, baby, they're not charitable in terms of their designs. They are not at all, and they certainly are not for promoting free speech and the mission of Pacifica, which is to provide a voice not to speak for the disenfranchised, but to let the disenfranchised speak for themselves. And I tell you, you listen to KPFT 24/7 if you can stand it. And I'm sitting on the board, and I can't stand it. Because after hearing, I'll listen to a couple hours in the morning with Democracy Now! And Amy Goodman, and maybe a little bit of the BBC, which is carried on the other competitive channels. And I'll tell you,
After that, it disappears for 5 hours. A big, and I'm not against country music. I'm not against world music. I'm not against the mishmash of music. But hey, folks, let's look at the times. Let's look at what the people need. They need, they're hungry for what's happening in their own communities and what's happening worldwide, and they want more than just the BBC superficial report of the dead count at some at some protest in the Middle East. Finally, I just want to sum up with this. Listen, we are facing a Hurricane Sandy. Yes, when it came in the form of high winds and high waters on the East Coast last year, the PNB and the executive director did what they had to do. They went into, I don't care if the session was closed or not. What you did, what you had to do, you decreased the employed staff by 75%. You did what you had to do in order to keep that WBAI on the air. Well, folks, we got a Hurricane Sandy, a financial Hurricane Sandy that's coming right at Pacifica Foundation right now. And it's approaching in a way that is very, very pernicious, very, very misleading. And why do I say it's misleading? Because Pacifica and especially KPFT are being quietly managed into bankruptcy, quietly managed into receivership, quietly managed into extinction, quietly managed. I am a lawyer. I've been a lawyer for 32 years. I've been independent of all these big corporate firms in Texas, by the way, and right here in Houston that are the largest big corporate firms in the country. And by the way, it's unfortunate that we have as corporate counsel of Pacifica a, I don't know if they're Republican or not, but a bunch of lawyers that have on record been engaged in helping to bust unions. But that's another story. The point is this. I can speak in terms of why we are paying right now over $300,000 a year, Pacifica, toward legal fees.
Okay, Ms. Castellanos, I'm going to sum it up. We've let you go a terribly long time.
But
if you could, please. Thank
consider
you.
Downsizing all across the board. 75% of the paid staff, every single station, have a search for new general managers at every single station. And thank you very much for your time and for your
thank
consideration.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We just want to mention we are out of time, actually. I want to mention to all of you, I hope everybody has a ticket. Do you have a lottery ticket? Okay, so how are we doing this, folks? We're going to have a drawing.
This,
yes, please make an announcement. Yes.
I live in Berkeley, California, and I've listened to the prison show online.